Philippians 1:6, we're going to read it. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you, speaking Paul to the church in Philippi, he says, the one that started the good work in you, he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The one that started the work. So while we are in the way of the Lord, we're going to be in a process. Don't believe it has finished, no. But until the Lord comes, until the day of the Lord Jesus. But every process is going to make you go to a new glory, to experience a new victory. Every process is going to place you in the right place. It's going to bring you to the blessing. Every process is going to cause the glory of God to be manifested in you, because in his word it says, we put every one of my brethren in your hands, those that have gone out to be with their families, those that are sick, those that are battling still with fear, whatever it is, touch, Lord God, extend your hand towards them, towards their life, that you're going to bless those that are out also. But this time, glorify yourself in the middle of your people, in the heart of every person. Let your word have its effect for which you have sent it. In the name of Jesus, amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to tell you that you're in the right place this morning. You're where the restoration of God starts this morning. You're in the place where the healing starts. You're in the place, perfect place, where you can experience freedom, liberation, redemption, and you can experience things that the world has taken away from you. You can be, the world promised these things to you, but didn't give them to you. Others also said, but you've only been able to find it in Christ. You've only been able to find it. Today, you're in the place that God has said, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Sister Pastor talked about restoration. So we're in that year of restoration. That's our theme this year. And I was speaking these days with the Lord while I was praying for you, while I was praying for this house, for this congregation. God reminded me of restoration. And my question to the Lord was, why sometimes we don't advance in the Lord? Why sometimes cycles go over and over? Sometimes we don't see the glory. We don't take possession of what you have spoken in our life, what you've prophesied over our lives. And the Lord reminded me, speak to me. I think as pastors, we want to see you, that you have success in your spiritual life, that you have an advance, and also success in your business and in your work. We want to see that you have an advance, that you go forward, a family of progress. And we want these things in your life, in your spiritual life, in your material life, all. And God began to remind me of the situation that I lived when I was in high school just a few years ago, huh? But God caused me to remember those old years of my youth, when I played football in the second season, my junior year. I was playing a situation we had trained all summer. If somebody plays here, you know what I'm talking about, Randy. That time and that occasion, I hurt my left hand. I thought I had broke my hand. And the Lord was making me remember. I was working on a project, and I had to sit down because the Lord began to remind me. And I began to write on a little piece of paper details of what had happened to me, because the Spirit of God was causing me to remember that old time. Lord said, do you remember the season was about to start at the first game of the year? And I think on Friday was the first game, and it was like Monday or Tuesday, and all summer I had been training, playing ball, preparing, but that pain that I had in my hand, I thought I'd broken some fingers or something. I went to emergency when the training had ended. I couldn't take the pain. They did x-rays, and it was just something that was twisted there. And I went. My point is, that Friday was going to be the first game. And I remember when the trainer saw my hand, he said, you can't. I said, no, the doctor said that Friday I can take off. But the doctor had said wrong. The trainer said, no, you can't play. I had to see the doctor on Thursday. Went again to the doctor. I was 16 years old, a young man. I was out of my mind. I'm seated there in the waiting for the doctor. The doctor was taking time. And so the doctor didn't come. I started to take that wrapping off of my hand. I threw that room, and I went on home. I took the bandage off. The next Friday in the morning, I had to go to the locker room to get our things. And it was still hurting me like you would not imagine. I left my hand up and high, so I would not hurt as much. And while I was there, the trainer sees me. We're all sitting, giving us our uniform. He looks at me. He looked at me. He saw my hand. He threw the uniform on me. So at night we were going to play. He threw the uniform, thinking everything was fine. Even though the doctor had not given me a word, he still gave me the uniform. But this is what was in my mind the first game. And I was in a difficulty, even of losing my position, of being in the team. And I was remembering, I was saying this to the Lord. The Lord reminded me, because you went to play and you had not had a complete restoration. You weren't restored or had a complete healing. But hear what I'm about to say. You took that bandage off to make other people, fool other people, when the doctor had not finished with you. or somebody listening to me, you took off the bandage to fool other people because the doctor had not finished with you. He said, son, that way there are many Christians today that take the bandage off because they have a passion or a talent or a calling, but I have not finished with them. I'm still working with them. They abandon the process because believe that they are important for their team. They believe they are important for their job or their company or for their family. They believe they're important for their community, and they are, but not in that condition. Is somebody listening to me? Because in that condition, instead of helping your team, instead of helping your family, instead of helping your job or company, you are causing more pain and difficulty than help. Somebody thinking, Pastor, you should have stayed in Chiapas. Why are you talking to me that way? Church, God has designed the process through which He works with each one of us. It has nothing to do with your leadership or your pastor or the congregation. God has designed the process in heaven. And even though it's very painful for each one of us, each one of our processes are different, but your process has to be with character. Some processes are very painful. Some processes, we question them. But at the end of the day, your season will come when you have found complete restoration. Your season will come when you have found a complete restoration. Your season will start when we found a complete restoration in Jesus, because He's our restoring power. He's our healing power. He is our everything. But there are some things that are stopped in heaven because some of us decided to take off the bandages before time. Some things God has stopped in heaven. They have your name, but He has stopped them because many of us decided to take our own bandage off and abandon the process. We thought that we were ready, and we thought that we were invincible. We thought that we, but God said, son, I'm not finished with you, but the work that I started, I will finish if you let me. The work, be confident of this, I'm going to complete that good work in you. Sometimes we abandon the process because we think we can help others. We think that we're in the right. This is what I thought. But that morning, when he gave me my uniform, I was excited. I said, I'm gonna be in the team. But when 7 at night came, and I'm ready, and we're beginning to train. But when the game started, let me tell you what happened. Football, American football is a difficult game. You have to knock other people. Whoever has the ball is on the offensive. People come against you. But I was all the time with my hand like this because I had pain. I didn't have pain pills. I'm with my hand like this, and I wanted to knock down. But starting in the first round, every time he'd go, the other team started to get points. I was hurting my team instead of helping them. Because when we hide the pain, we hurt our team more. which is your team? Sometimes we think we're doing it good, but when we take the bandage off before time, we're hurting our team, whoever, our family, our job, or our business. I think in some way, I started to think, and why the trainer didn't take me out? Because sometimes there are bad days, and maybe because of the seniority you have, the trainer didn't take me out. But when I stayed inside the team, the only one that knew that I was going through that was, and he said, "You're crazy," a friend of mine. And now, even I was hurting him because he couldn't go play because I've not given him that place. Maybe he could have helped the team. And can I be honest with you? Sometimes we think that our pride is going to do something. And because for our pride, we don't let, we say, "I'm the one that can help the team." And I didn't get out. And I want to be honest. It was, I was feeding my ego. And Ronnie, if you're looking at me, forgive me. I hurt the team. It's incredibly, well, many times when we abandon the process that God has established for us, and we hide the pain, and later it becomes a feeling, my team doesn't go forward, I don't go forward, because there's not a restoration. If you're asking yourselves those questions, why sometimes I go out of one and I'm already in another situation, a difficult problem, can I be honest with you? It's because God is trying to place order in all the areas of your life. And for that to happen, the first that has to happen, there has to be a total restoration. You have to let Him finish what He started, that He would be glorified in what He was going to do. Three things I'm going to tell you right quickly. They're going to help your restoration. Three things that are going to help our complete restoration. Number one, for those that are taking note, auto-examination. Examining yourself. Auto-examination. Examine yourself. It has nothing to do with prayer and fasting. Just examine yourself. Just examine your own self. It has to do with you. How many times you should stop to examine yourself to see your condition? Because this is something human. You say something didn't come out right. I failed even as a father or a husband, and I examined myself. What is auto-examination? You sit down and you meditate. You say, "You know, I am really failing here." You are understanding. It looks like I'm doing well, but look where I've failed. We would quit being human if we don't examine ourselves. There's a moment when you do it and you examine your own self and you say, wow, I should renounce to this because this is ugly. If we're honest. When you ought to examine yourself, you can see where you're failing. It doesn't have anything to do with spirituality. We're going to go into that later. But sometimes we don't examine ourselves. Sometimes there are problems in the marriage and we don't even think. We don't analyze them. You know why? Because there's a pride that sometimes we want to feed. And we're not honest with ourselves. And maybe our marriage is splitting, even though we have problems. We hide this pain because I want to gain that situation. But here, in classes for marriage, we tell nobody wins when you hide this. Other people are so worried about what other people do, they don't have time to examine themselves. Do you know somebody? Don't say it real loud. But when you're honest with yourself and you see your defects and you recognize your defeats, that's where God, the hand of God, comes towards us to help us, because you know that you're not one that is worthy of His blessing. That's when He can bless you, when you recognize that you're not worthy, that He would touch you of many things. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. I'm nothing without God. Our sufficiency is from God. There are times when I've sat down here, there are times that I've examined myself, because I'm not a superhero. I'm only a servant. And as a servant, sometimes we fail. And Paul said not that I have attained everything, but I continue going towards the target. I don't want to go from the way, but where am I going to end if I do that? I want to keep my aim on the target. And we can see that Paul compared that with, in his letters he spoke to others. It's not that we consider ourselves as sufficient, but our sufficiency is from God. God has promised to take our sickness, even our pain. All He wants us is that you don't abandon the process, that He might finish His purpose in you and take you to your place of assignment. Also in Luke 15 and 17, it talks about the prodigal son. That you remember that story? When he's sitting out in the middle of all those pigs, what happens? It says, but when he came to himself, he said, I like that. I like this other translation. At the end, he thought over again, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to eat and spare, and I here perish with hunger? The middle of everything that he was doing, at a certain moment, the prodigal Son filled himself up. He understood feeding his ego, everything that was in him. He was all in himself, but at the end of himself, coming back to himself, it said, he came to himself. We get lost sometimes. You get lost in the middle of the situation. Sometimes you've heard somebody say, this is not me. This is not me. I'm not doing what I should do. Well, then who is it? I even have this video that you're talking about me. So who was it? The spirit that was in you. When we ought to examine ourselves, we find out the abundance that we have in the house of the Father. We're going to find out about what is in the house of our Father, that we don't need to be living in the works of the enemy, knowing that your Father has an abundance of what you're looking for, knowing that your Father doesn't abandon you, that your Father will provide. You know that your Father is right there. But sometimes we worry so much in life that we lose our focus of what God is for us, of what God is for each one of us. And we're living in situations and they steal our joy, where we cannot worship or glorify because we see ourselves just in the problems we're in. How are we going to solve these things? We'll leave it up to God. You just do your part. You battle in praise. Begin to give war to the enemy through praise, through worship. Sometimes we leave those weapons that God has given us for victory. Number two, I'm about to finish. We're going to do this quick. To be able to come to a complete restoration, I'm going to give you only three this morning. But number two is brokenness. Brokenness, Psalm 51 and 17. God says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. So brokenness, when you ought to examine yourself, it'll bring you to a place of brokenness. And it's in this time of brokenness where experiences are going to come with God. It's at this time of brokenness or humbling of yourself where experiences are going to come with God. Why people do not have experiences with God? Because they don't come to this place of humbling and brokenness. Because you haven't ought to examine yourself. There hasn't been any brokenness. It says, a broken and a contrite heart, these you will not despise, Lord. So these experiences with God, where you begin to get in love with God, you begin to fall in love with God, you begin to establish a relationship with God, when you have a revelation from God, because this fortifies your relationship with God, and this brokenness is where you really know God. How many have experienced brokenness? When you're living a situation, it's what you least imagine. But he comes out and says, friend, my son, my daughter, I haven't finished with you yet. But I designed a time, a season, how you're going to come to this place. this is what God always looked for in the man and in the people of Israel. It was not about the difficulties or where they were going. What God wanted to do in the desert is that they would understand and that they would know the presence of God. But they 40 years, they couldn't understand God's presence. They went into the land because if they would have understood it, it was the presence of God. They wouldn't have battled so much. Sometimes we battle because we don't understand God's presence. Sometimes you think people are pushing you and you feel frustrated, but we haven't gone through that. In our life, our story of being on the edge of divorce, but we didn't give ourselves up, and we're standing because of His mercy. That's what God has always desired, and He's working in us. Third point, and this is what I end with, the power of His presence. The power of His presence. Psalm 16:11 says this: You will give me to understand. 16:11, Psalm 60, You will show me the path of life. Because in Your presence is fullness of joy, and at Your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The version that I have, You will let me to know the path of life, and in Your presence there is fullness of joy, and at Your right hand there is enjoyment, pleasure forevermore. In Your presence there's joy. Full joy, full joy. David understood that. In Your presence is fullness of joy. I don't know where you're going, but in the presence of God, there is full joy. And I don't know if you have enough for the rent or the payment of your house, but in His presence, I don't know your pain you're going through, but in the presence of God, there is joy. I don't know what that sickness that you have that the doctor said that you had, but in His presence there is fullness of joy. But in His presence there is fullness of joy. I don't know how you're going through anguish, but in His presence there's joy. I don't know why you're sad, but in His presence there is joy. The situation that you're in, but in the presence of God there is fullness of joy. His presence, there is fullness of joy. In His right hand are pleasures forevermore. Sometimes we're so into our problems, Sister Cutty. And it's not because the enemy or the devil is after you. No. What happens is that sometimes we are outside of the presence of God. Because where there is a presence of God, the enemy can't come in. Because where there is a presence of God, the enemy can't come in and take away what is His. You want to be, let me be honest with you? Yesterday, the pastor's wife spoke. All day long, she had a painful headache. Very painful. In the afternoon, I was showering. I had a pain here in my elbow. I had this pain. I was showering. I felt this pain. What happened? I haven't hit myself. Nobody has hit me. Nothing. I haven't hurt myself on the job. But I felt this pain in my elbow. My son came out 9:30 from work. I went. And there was a moment I could not even move my arm. think that's the Lord reminding me of that situation in my high school years. But I remembered of the presence of God. And my wife laid down for a little bit, and I got there and I said, "Hey, let me pray for you. Let me pray for you." And while she's lying down there, I put my hand on her head and I started to rebuke every spirit that wanted to hold back what God was going to do this morning. Somebody testified that my wife sent a text that there was an answer to what she was waiting from God. And I started to pray. Anything that the enemy is doing against this house, against the children, in this moment, it's got to go. We don't know what it is, but I have learned and understood that sometimes the enemy lifts, and there's witchcraft and fighting of the enemy. But you need to move in the spiritual. You need to understand to move in that area. So we prayed, and this morning when she got up, I asked her, how do you feel? She said, like this. Praise God. And I remembered that I had that pain also. I thought I wasn't going to be able to sleep. But I had forgotten my pain. I'm going to be honest with you. What we begin to think the worst things, and what if it's cancer? What if that's what the enemy wants you to think, the worst, to have you under fear and terror. But when you understand what the presence of God is, you get up in war, and His presence, He begins to bring you revelation. And that verse and that prophecy that God spoke on your life, and you begin to know that what the enemy is speaking is a lie. And you're under His protection, under His wings. And he that lives under the care of the High One will live under the shadow of His power. 1 Samuel says all the men of Kiriath Jearim were carrying the ark. They had sanctified a person to take care of the ark of the presence of God, of the pact. The congregation to keep the presence of God should get in. The presence of God is personal in each one of our lives. When you come to the house of the Lord, you need to come prepared so when we get here, we can touch God. But when you come all defeated, oh, who's going to preach? Let's see if this is not difficult. That same song, they sing it over again. Why don't they sing another song? Listening to me, you come thinking only, when I get to the house of Father, I'm going to recreate myself in His presence. When I get to the house of Father, I'm going to take all this pain out of me. I'm going to present to Him what the doctor said that I had. I'm going to put straight in my marriage, in my life. I'm going to strange that He would finish the work that He had started in my life. In 2 Samuel 6, Israel was longing for the presence of God. They had stolen the ark of the presence of God. They had taken it from them. They were longing for that presence again. Because that presence, Sister Helen, having that presence, the ark of the covenant with you, that was blessing for them. They had lost the presence of God. As many Christians have lost the presence. I was reading in the Christian Post, and it hit me so much that many Christians in the United States do not believe in the moving of the Holy Spirit. Wow. It hit me strange and hard. We're not feeling an environment where we can see the glory of God because we're so into a religion. We're so into something where the presence of God is not moving. Sometime have you been in that place? You think it's your conscience telling you? You hear that voice saying, "Don't do it, son. Don't do it." When you get to the market, you go to you see candy. Do you think that they're for you to feel them? No, they're there for you to buy those candies. What if I buy that chocolate, that candy? But if you're honest with you, you're going to say you're stealing because you're not paying. You take a candy and say, "Oh, they're giving these away." Yeah, but they have a price on them. I thought they were just to taste them. They took that off from Costco too now. Having the presence of God is everything. The problem many times is that we feel ourselves moved by our situations and problems, sicknesses. We feel ourselves tremored, moved. It's because of the lack of the presence of God. The Bible says if we seek the presence of God and we seek the Lord like seeking gold and silver, we will find it. Look, David wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant in a new car. David knew of the presence of God. That's why when he was in the kingdom, he knew that he couldn't live without that presence. And he said, "It's enough. Let's go for the Ark of the Pact of the Covenant." But it wasn't in their own time. It was in the time of God. God says, "Now is the time that my glory, it's the time for my presence to come back." David tried to bring the Ark of the Covenant in a new cart. Many times we want to take the presence of God in our own way. And that's what David was doing. I have my way of doing things, but God has His way of doing things. And all of a sudden, while they're carrying the Ark of the Covenant, I don't know, it touched a rock, but the Ark moved, and somebody goes up, and there's a name in the Bible, Uz. Uzzah and tried to put his hand to steady the Ark of the Covenant so it would not fall. Many times we try to help the Lord, don't we? God says, "I don't need your help. What I need is your heart. I need you to put on your energy to see what I'm going to do in your family." Uzzah ended dead, and the Ark of the Covenant was taken to the house of a man named Obed-Edom, servant of God. And this This is the figure of those that have refuge in the blood of Christ. If you, in truth, want God to finish that restoration completely, first you're going to have to auto-examine yourself and be honest with God and then with yourself. And don't pretend something, because God knows us. Sometimes I'm afraid of myself. The other day I was at Home Depot and I found a brother and said, "Hi, Pastor, how you doing?" And I thought, who is this? Later, I'm thinking, and I find him again. "Pastor, are you following me?" In first place, I don't know who you are. He takes his mask off, and even I could not recognize him. But later, we started a little conversation, and he said, "How is Alex and Abby?" Well, they know me through Alex and Abby. What do I want to tell you through this? That we are open books before the world. And wherever you go, where you're at, you're going to be read by people. And even though you don't know the people, they're going to know you. They don't need to start talking to you or conversing with you, because what we carry is felt and provokes an atmosphere. Number one, you want God to finish the work that He started in your life, we're going to have to be honest with ourselves and examine ourselves. Number two, come to the place of brokenness. That auto-examination is going to bring you to a place of being contrite and humbled before God. It's necessary in this process. Because the third thing is His presence. There's no glory without His presence. There's no success where you want to have success. The presence of God is the more important. It doesn't matter of anything that we do in this house if there's no presence of God. I know that you're here because of the presence of God in this house. Sometimes you say you want to go from this house, but what stops you is the presence of God. All of us have this before us. We want a total restoration. It's important to have the power of His presence. Don't let the Philistines rob you of the pact of the Ark of the Covenant. Who are the Philistines? Everything that's around us, but it doesn't let us experience His presence and its fullness. So, David knew it was clear. You have given me to understand in your presence there is joy. It's only in His presence we can experience what we can't without ourselves. When you're going through this testing and difficulties and problems and brokenness, the joy begins to come. Stand with me this morning. How many times we're in a situation and the half of the week, midweek gets there, we want His presence. We could have come Wednesday. We were coming from another country. We didn't want to infect anybody, and so we wanted to make sure everything was good. After that great earthquake that we felt in the airport of Mexico City, you think I didn't want to be in the presence of God? This whole thing was moving. This earthquake was moving. Everything was shaking. Like you were in a hammock or something. We thought it was going to pass. I got close to my children. My daughter was impacted by the earthquake. I sat next to her. I said, "It's okay." And God helped us to get all the way here. But the enemy's reminding me how many buildings fell last time. When they make us all go out, evacuate from the airport, we see broken windows from the airport. So we can see the mercy of God, that He keeps us. You know why? Because He's always going to take care of what is His. God will take care of what is His. He's going to take care of what His Son went through to buy, to purchase, what cost the life of His own Son. And that's why He takes care of you and me, because He wants to complete His purpose in you. And He's going to continue doing it. The power of His presence. When you're in a battle this week, remember the power of His presence. The power of His presence. All of us are in a process. All of us here are in a process. A process of a restoration, total restoration. But don't take the bandage off in the middle of your pain. The pain is there. It's obvious. Sometimes you can't even hide it. Let God do what He has to do in your life. Lift your hands to the Lord this morning. Give thank you. Thank God. I know that You're in control. I know that You're in control. I know that I have battles. I have difficulties. But in the middle of all of this, I have You. In the middle of all this, I have You. Now, come on. Say, in the middle of all these situations, I have You. And every day I need You more. Every day I need You more. Because I understand that Your presence is the most important thing in my life.